that I hope is a, what do you call it? An awakening. Because some people call it an epiphany. You know, what's an awakening? Had an epiphany. We've got some folks visiting with us from Florida and Washington, D.C. and Kentucky. And good to have you. Amen. That's where that long rifle came from. Those long hunters. Sergeant York. But he was a... He knew how to fire that weapon. Father, I pray that you bless your word now this morning. And I pray that you give me unction, Lord. And give me the gift of teaching. And open our hearts, Father, to receive your word. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Now, if you turn to the book of 1 Thessalonians... No, Second Thessalonians 2. I hope you'll just kind of listen to me at the beginning here so I lay a foundation for what we'll be moving into today. Second Thessalonians chapter number 2. And verse number 1. We beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together unto him. These two separate things here, the coming of Christ and the gathering together, the rapture. That you be not soon shaken in mind, be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word, nor by letters from us, that the day of Christ is at hand. The day of Christ and the day of the Lord are entirely two different things. So many of the new Bibles have changed this to Lord here. There's two Greek words. One is kurios, that's translated Lord. Christos is translated Christ. They're not the same. The day of Christ and the day of the Lord are two entirely different things. But a lot of confusion has been created because they've changed the wording here in verse 2. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. The falling away is what's called the apostasy. It's called the great apostasy. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and be turned to fables, the scripture says. In the last days, perilous times shall come. I want to read a quote for you. This will lay the groundwork for what follows. This is a quote. Call me a horrible person, but I have been fantasizing about some sort of bioweapon that targets religious zealots since I was fairly young. If they ever find gene sequences for that kind of stupidity without harming average dumb people, my primary targets of disgust should be happy I have no knowledge of how to use CRISPR, C-R-I-S-P-R, or whatever other fancy cut-and-paste tool they'll ever come up with, because I'd turn into a genocidal freak instantly. Now, this is a quotation. This quotation relates to the information about CRISPR-Cas9. Cas9. How many's ever heard of that? Most of you haven't. And there's not a lot been said publicly. You'll find out about it in scientific journals. You'll find out about it if you're around certain people who, molecular biologists, people like that who deal with this issue. CRISPR-Cas9. Now, you remember what a big deal it was when Crick and the rest of them discovered DNA. You remember what a big deal that was. Big deal. A lot of people are behind bars right now because of DNA. A lot of people have been exonerated because of DNA. A lot of kids now know who their daddy is because of DNA, so forth and so on. DNA is a tool used by law enforcement and medical science for a lot of different things. CRISPR-Cas9, they say, is right up there in its importance as being important with DNA. It's a remarkable thing. What it is the ability to precisely edit the genes of a living creature. Precisely edit. It's like scissors. This is why he made reference to cut and paste. This holds enormous implications. Now, we've been talking about evolution. We've been talking about biological, social, and spiritual evolution. This fits directly, and this is a progression of that, and I hope that you can see the connection for what we're done today. CRISPR-Cas9 is something that is just absolutely blowing the scientific community away and all the implications. They are investing in it. Big business is investing in it. They are creating laboratories focused in that direction. It's the rage on college campuses. And the reason for that, it's only been about 4 or 5 years now since it was discovered. CRISPR-Cas9. The potential is enormous. Designer babies, cure for disease, the growth of human body parts, the rejuvenation of tissue. But then there are the horrors that go along with it. Some of the horrors are these. Some makes it easier to create human-animal hybrids. Designer babies in a bad light. It is increasing the demand for living human embryos from fertility clinics to experiment on, and for harvested baby parts from abortion mills. I remember, how many of you remember what just went on with Planned Parenthood and selling the body parts, the babies? Then there's the possible unintended disasters from genetic engineering gone awry of insects, bacteria, etc. Even the ill-intentioned applications of using CRISPR to create bioweapons, including ethnically targeted weapons, such as those that terror groups like ISIS could use to target Jews. Now, they're on the just the beginning stages of being able to isolate ethnic groups by their DNA and so forth. And then with CRISPR, by editing the genes, they can create a bioweapon or some sort of a horrible weapon that would only target those people. And of course, by doing so, they could do away with them. Now, I want you to think about what it says in the book of Revelation, where it says that he causeth all, small and great, to receive a mark. Now, one of the greatest controversies in the world today is what that mark is. And I'm not saying that I know what the mark is, but I do say this: there is a mark. And this mark identifies that individual as one who has received a mark from the beast, the Antichrist, and therefore they have connected themselves with him. And by doing that, Revelation 14, they've sealed their doom. Now, it's not going to be a haphazard thing. It's not going to be where you just all of a sudden it just happens to you. You're going through a line or somebody stamps you on the hand as you go through that line. You got the mark of the beast. No, you'll consciously choose. You'll consciously choose to receive or reject that mark. But, you know, a lot of speculation about what the mark is. And that's, you know, there's a lot of reasons for that. But let's keep it within this context this morning. Designer babies. Can you imagine being able to genetically alter the intelligence of a child and give that child a 20 to 30 point or even possibly more advantage over another child? In other words, an IQ starting at 130 and going up to 200 or 210 or 220. Can you imagine the vast difference that would make between a certain group of people and another group of people? If you had a group of people genetically engineered to be vastly more intelligent than another group, then what you've done is create a servant class to the elite. Now, we've got the elite. We've always had the elite. But what you're doing now, you are programming and developing a class. Remember, he causeth all to receive a mark. This means that the Antichrist is able to control commerce, buying and selling. That's quite a remarkable thing. Now, designer babies gets into a lot of issues. There's a lot of things going on with designer babies. And as I read to you just a moment ago, it'll start probably with a lot of benevolent things and useful things for mankind. That's the way everything does. It'll start like that, but that's just the beginning. And don't ever let anybody ever tell you that, well, we've come to an agreement in the international community that we're going to stop at such and such a point, and we're not going to go hogwash, garbage. Don't let anybody ever tell you that man's moral ethics is going to stop him from doing anything. Man's a fallen creature, folks. And if a dollar bill's involved in it, he'll go to the extreme. Remember, if it doesn't make any sense, somebody's making money off of it. And you can be sure of that. So you get to thinking about this. If we have designer babies, we have, we've had test tube babies. Now we've got genetically altered babies. And this has all been done by the direct hand of man. Then the only thing that's really left is to be able to take this genetically altered and put it into a artificial womb, and you no longer need a human being. That's when it gets scary. What do you mean by artificial womb? I'm saying from conception till birth, that baby has never been in a human body. And from conception to birth, that baby doesn't have a clue who its mother or father is. Think about that. Think if you were that child. Think about that. Think if you were born with absolutely no concept of who your mother or father is. And then take another step. Think if you were born like that, what would you be? What would you be? Would you be a human being? The transhumanists that I've been talking about in the past, the transhumanism, the idea that man can transhumanism, he can pass through this mortal, these mortal bonds, and he can reach into immortality by various means. And there's a lot of different ways too. Remember this, Satan never puts all of his eggs in one basket. He never does that. He never does that. And one of his greatest weapons to use on anyone is confusion. And God is not the author of confusion. About the time you think you've got him traced down, he'll slip out and he comes from another direction. Of all transhumanist technologies coming in the near future, one stands out that both fascinates and perplexes people. It's called ectogenesis, raising a fetus outside the human body in an artificial womb. This sounds like science fiction, doesn't it? It really does. It sounds like the thing they make movies about. But the fact of the matter is, this is a reality facing people in the near future. Some bioethicists have suggested ectogenesis could also free up homosexual couples and single men from having to use surrogate mothers to bear their children. In plain words, from conception to birth, it's all done in a scientific manner in a laboratory somewhere. And you've got children now walking in your midst that were never part of a human body. Now just digest that for a moment. Just think about that for a minute. He causeth all, both small and great, to receive a mark. He is in complete control of humanity. In plain words, we have people walking around like chimeras. A chimera is a mixture of a human being and an animal. Of course, you know, we talked about bestiality that they've legalized. I think they have these things in some of these European countries. You understand what bestiality is? If you don't know, just go home and look it up on Google it. Bestiality. That's when you bounce off of the bottom when you get to that point. You don't hit the bottom, you're bouncing off of it because you hit it by free fall. Bestiality. That's how bad it gets. And we're there now. The idea that without the aid of natural procreation, now we can create a whole generation of beings. I don't know how human you'd call them, but we create a whole generation of beings. Now, I want you to think about this for a moment. The only person that ever lived that was not born was Adam. And then Eve was taken from his side, right? Neither one of them were born. They weren't born. But Adam's father was God. And God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he did what? He became a living soul. That gets into the nuts and bolts of what constitutes a human being. Not the body, But the life force in that body. Remember, I've told you how time and time and time again, the evolutionist uses these high-sounding terms about, you know, this monism, about this spirit essence, about this life force. They can call it whatever they want to, but it's simply this. That's what's actively engaged in the evolutionary process throughout time, that they don't need a creator God. He's out. You can't really know it, but you know it's there. There's some kind of life force involved. So what would be a problem with them accepting that they have created this human being in a laboratory, and now all of a sudden it comes alive? Where did that life come from? What is it? Is it a human being, or what is it? See, that's the issue. That's the point here. Artificial womb-free births just got a lot more real. For the first time, scientists have managed to grow human embryos to at least 14 days old inside a petri dish. Their work has the potential to revolutionize our understanding of what makes us human. It is the next step on the road to completely artificial womb-free reproduction. In fact, it's possible that these embryos might even have kept growing past 2 weeks if the scientists did not have to terminate them for ethical reasons. Now listen to this statement. Sometimes they'll tell you exactly what they're doing if you just listen to them. As is wont to happen, when people think they're about to do something that will raise controversy, the strategy is to float the idea and see how long it'll take for people to become accustomed to it and then move forward. There it is. That's the way they operate. It was a surprise for these researchers to see that a human embryo could direct its own development even after it reached the point where it should have implanted into the uterus without any input at all from the mother. This begs the question, would an artificial womb, if it had the right ingredients, be capable of bringing a developing human to term? And then one more statement from this same source. One day, under the right conditions, this means that we might be able to grow a human to the point when it can be born in a completely artificial environment. We are facing a brave new world. And you're already seeing the birth pangs. You are. You're witnessing the change. You're witnessing the gradual change into a completely different way of thinking, what's called a paradigm shift into a new world, completely new. Now, here is a transhumanist, and here's what he wants to teach kids. He wants to teach them that death is wrong. Now, think on that for a moment. He says, transhumanism is a growing international social movement gaining speed as more and more people began realizing the full potential of scientific and technological advancements toward humanity's, listen to this, next evolutionary steps. There it is. That's what this is all about. They have to press forward. This is what it's about. They have to push the old into the past and press forward into the future. This is what evolution is about. You're constantly being fed a dose of it. You're constantly being brainwashed with it from the tube, the television set. You're constantly being fed with garbage from these universities around here in the school system. It's constant, unrelenting, that we're nothing in the world more than a product of blind chance that Darwin taught in his Origin of Theses and Favored Races. Remember that one? Did you know that in World War II, when Japan joined the Axis with Italy and Germany, that the Japanese firmly believed that they were a superior race. How many Americans know that? That's fact. Did you know that all around this world, that when you go to the indigenous people, you go to their country, you go to their where they live, they all have their own gods. And when you get to these gods and you start looking into their religion, you'll find out for the most part, their religion through their gods teaches they are special, that they are a special superior race. Did you know, when it comes to the United States of America, we are an oddball. Because the people who came into this country did not come into this country to worship the gods of this country. They brought their own God with them. And the God they brought with them, for the most part, was the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the Lord Jesus Christ. They came into this nation and they preached Christ and Him crucified. This is why the identity of the average American is entirely different. The concept in America is completely different than the thinking of other nations. It's different. And the reason it's different is because America is a nation of immigrants. It's made up from people from all over the globe. So what makes them an American? Their race does not make them an American. What makes them an American is their ideology. They buy into a system of thinking. They become an American because they accept the American ideal. That's what makes them American. And it's the only country on the face of the earth like that. England is not like that. You go back and check into the gods of ancient England, man. You get into the Druids. You get into all kinds of stuff going on over there. You check into the gods of the Europeans and all of that. Everything, it's all different. But America is different. So that tells me that America is the final straw, the one that has to be broken in order to create this one world utopia. This Shangri-La, this one world of the Antichrist that he's looking for, and it has to be done. And you got to do it by breaking its foundations. You don't tear it down from the top. You destroy the bottom. And when you do, it'll come collapsing down on itself. And that's exactly what you're watching happen right now. That's what's happening in America. Because the bottom line is, as America goes, so goes the world. And, you know, that's not an arrogant statement, because we think we're better than the rest of the world. But the bottom line is, if there was no United States of America, what do you think these Europeans would be doing to each other? What do you think the rest of them out here would be doing? How many of you know what the word hegemony, H-E-G-E-M-Y, I think it is. You know what that word means? That word means that at the circle of power, the circle of authority, the place that it reach out, it grasps and it controls, the United States, by virtue of the fact that it is the United States and a superpower, has a vested interest in trying to see to it that there's some kind of balance out here in this world. If nobody stopped Sun Myung-hoon, what's his name over there in North Korea? If there was nobody to stop him, how long do you think it'd take him to reach down and take South Korea? And how long reach over and take Japan and start pulling in Malaysia and go over there? How long would it take him? Wouldn't take him long. First thing you know, you'd be right smack in the middle of another world war, which we may be in anyway. Now listen to what this Japanese says. Here's a warning from a Japanese scientist. His name is Kazuo Ishiguro. We're coming close to the point where we can create people who are superior to others. This is what he said. This is the scientist. And I can give you reference to the... All this stuff is available if you want to copy the notes or anything. It's all available. This is what the man says. He's a brilliant man, no question. He can see into the future. Here's what he says. Imagine a two-tiered society with elite citizens genetically engineered to be smarter, healthier, and to live longer, and an underclass of biologically run-of-the-mill humans. It sounds like the plot of a dystopian novel, but the world could be sleepwalking towards the scenario, according to one of Britain's most celebrated writers. Kazuo Ishiguro argues that the social changes unleashed by gene editing technologies, CRISPR-Cas9, could undermine core human values We're, quote, to quote the man, we're going into a territory where a lot of ways in which we have organized our societies will suddenly look a bit redundant, he said. Quote again, in liberal democracies, we have this idea that human beings are basically equal in some very fundamental way. We're coming close to the point where we can objectively, in some sense, create people who are superior to others. This is through gene editing. And they can edit out many of the diseases and frailties and edit in intelligence. What we have now, we have a system that has not been made by the hand of God, but man-made. And anything that man makes, he makes it for his own personal aggrandizement. We are on the brink of all kinds of discoveries that will completely alter the way we run our lives, said the author of the book, 2005 book, Never Let Me Go. He imagines a dark future in which human clones are raised to be organ donors. Can you imagine? Can you imagine an area where you've got people, but their only purpose in living is so that one day they'll come in there and they'll take them from the compound and they'll take their heart, they'll take their kidneys, whatever. Could fallen man ever get to the point to where he would let that happen? See? I mean, they had no life of their own. They look just like you. And yet, they are simply there for body parts. I'm going to tell you something right now. The day will come when politicians will run on that kind of a platform. Because my estimation of most politicians is rock bottom. Not all of them, but most of them. Rock bottom. Rock bottom. But listen to this. The gene editing tool CRISPR, now this is from this Japanese scientist. The gene editing tool CRISPR allows scientists to cut, paste, and delete single letters of the genome with unprecedented precision, meaning aberrant genes can be overwritten with working copies and potentially functioning genes replaced with enhanced versions. Chinese scientists are already trialing the technology in patients to treat lung cancer. When you get to the point where you can say that person is actually intellectually or physically superior to another because you have removed certain possibilities that person getting ill or because they're enhanced in other ways, that has enormous implications for very basic values that we have. Now listen to this statement. Here's another one of those statements that encapsulates in a nutshell a lot of stuff. Listen to this. He also has concerns that in AI, that's artificial intelligence, and robotics, the bulk of intellectual capital lies with the Silicon Valley masters of the universe rather than the universities or government-funded labs. Now listen to this carefully. There are some very powerful and rich people who want to do enormous research in this area. Some of them might want to come out with things that are very beneficial, but it's probably outside of regulation, and so yes, I think society as a whole needs to be more engaged. This is his way of saying that there is an elite, wealthy group pushing, directing, controlling scientific advancement and what is fed to the masses. And these people are playing God. Now, they think they are acting on their own. But of course, they are acting through the enlightenment of Lucifer. As a Christian, you know where their power and authority comes from. Because when he offered it to the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, the kingdoms of the world are mine, and I can give them to whomsoever I will. The Lord did not say he was boasting or bragging about in vain. He did have that power. He does have that power. He will have that power till the Son of God comes in the book of Revelation and takes it away from him. And that's the only way he'll get it. Men will never freely offer up any power, authority, and kingdoms to the Lord. That's not going to happen. He must come and forcibly take what is his. And that's what's going to happen. And he doesn't get it through the preaching of the church, the preaching of the gospel. That's postmillennial and amillennial. I know there's a lot of good people in there and they love the Lord and all that, and I'm glad for that. But the bottom line is they're dead wrong when it comes to eschatology. This world is not getting better. It's getting worse. And evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. It's not going to get any better. Now, here's a man that's worth at least $70,000 million. That's a pile of money. At one time, he was worth $90,000 million. You know who I'm talking about? Bill Gates. It's not some TV evangelist you're thinking about. This is a man that's worth $70 billion, folks, with a B. Now, he's speaking at the World Economic Forum in Davos. I think that's Switzerland. Bill Gates warned that the global community has not taken the threat of bioterrorism quite seriously enough. He urged governments and private organizations to make substantial investments to prepare for potential bioterrorism attacks. Now, here's a quote. What preparedness will look like for intentionally caused things that needs to be discussed, he said. It's very hard to rate the problem, the probability of bioterrorism, but the potential damage is very, very huge. What's that mean? That means if ISIS could get a hold of some mad professor and who could create what they wanted created in a lab through CRISPR-Cas9, and then they would turn around and they'd use it on you. And they would that the bioterror, whatever, if it be a disease or something, it would only target certain people. Now, if they can do that, the government can do that, right? The government can do that. How many in here this morning really believe the government's telling you everything you trust? Nobody's hand. Good. Shall we got some people got a little sense. I don't trust them. No, I don't. And so they brand me as a conspiracy theorist. I don't trust them. Oh, brother, you know, only they can tell you what they're really giving them, because I have no way of knowing what they're really giving them. But I think there's a deep distrust among most people in the government. When you look at the people in the government, they don't trust each other. All right. So here you have a man who comes in here in office, and this is not a blanket endorsement of Donald Trump. But I do believe that he is not a globalist. And I believe that not being a globalist, he has really stirred the pot. And I believe that something real is beginning to develop when they're talking about a deep state. They're talking about a deep state that's ingrained, that's been there from generation to generation, making a difference what senator you put in office and what house representative you that make it. That's window dressing. That's public consumption, means nothing. The only thing that really changes is what you need to look for. You judge a tree by the fruit it bears, and you can see where it's headed, and it's not headed in the right direction. And so you need to keep that in mind. And they'll probably try to get rid of him. I wouldn't be a bit surprised if they don't try to assassinate him. I hope that never happens, with all of my soul. But they may do it, because he's not part of the deep state. Yeah, I know. They're talking a lot about it. I know it. We don't. The only one you can trust is the one that wrote this book. That really is. You can trust him. But don't put your trust in man. Yes. Oh no, this is going on right now. Right now. Oh yeah, this is now. This is now. Yes, sir.
So I'm curious, with the creating of these babies and the manipulation where it's taken out of God's hands to put it in man's hand, at what point, in your opinion, do they become soulless?
Well, that's a good question. You see, and when I spoke to that a few minutes ago, I said, what constitutes human? God breathed into their nostrils. I mean, just because they look like a human being doesn't necessarily make them a human being.
And the fact that they can take animals and grow human livers, human hearts inside a pig, once they take that heart out and transplant it into a human, that heart still has pig DNA attached to it. And what happens in the future with the second generation from that person, or the third generation?
Well, I saw a thing on, I think it was Pat Robertson. I'm not sure, but I think it was Pat Robertson a couple of years ago. And they were talking about people that had heart transplants. And they said, some of these people that had heart transplants said they began to think things and had experiences that were related to the life of the person who gave the heart. Yeah, and now you can come along and say, well, that's wild and that's crazy and all of that. But the bottom line is your DNA is in every part of your body, that your DNA. In other words, your toe is the toe of a human being. Your heart is the heart of a human being. Your heart is your heart. And when they take your organs out of your body and they transplant them into another body, they have to give these powerful drugs so they don't reject it. That's one of the biggest problems of transplanting an organ. What it constitutes the moment of death, see, that's what you have to think about. The Bible said the body without the spirit is what? That's what James said. All right, now next question. And these are the kind of things you need to think about. What is the essence of a spirit? Is the spirit of a human being something that is like a ball or something inside them, or is the spirit of a human being part of their whole body? And then when they pass on, that whole body is just, it's it. I see this all the time, folks, all the time. I've been in many, many death chambers. And when the spirit leaves that body is frozen. Right there, frozen exactly at the moment that spirit left that body. Then the mortician will come, clean it up, put it in a restful position, turn the lights on above to give you the appearance, you know, of some flesh with the body itself. The blood's drained from the head and all that. And we'll get gory or anything. But I'm trying to say that it's not like that, it's a gradual leaving. In other words, life leaves this part of the body but stays in this part of the body. It's just gone. Bang, all over. And nothing moves. That's what I've seen. I've seen that time and time and time and time again. I have seen bodies, many of these people I have known in their lives, and I've seen them at the moment of death, and that body is frozen exactly the way they were when the spirit left them. So nobody knows the essence of the spirit.
Let him live, and he's going to die, and he's going to beg and plead and fill it out.
I know. Man, you know, the Lord said back in Genesis, he said, if we don't intervene, nothing will be withheld from them. They're already working on the ability to take all of the mind, the whole human mind, and transfer it into a computer. Okay? And the mind is your identity. So they take that mind, transfer it into a computer, later on create you a new body, and take that mind and download it into that new body. That's not science fiction, folks. That's exactly what this is talking about. That new mind. Transfer it back into a body. Yes, sir?
Yeah, I mean, Solomon said not to do one for some. You know, when we go back far enough, some of this stuff has happened before, correct?
Yes, sir.
And when it happened, especially when the fallen angels and so, that's when the earth was, all they did was people all the time. In other words, when you mess with this stuff, there's no way you can't bring a Christian out. Their mind, and that's why I asked about the soul, because it seems like if we look back in the past, all their mind was about evil all the time. That's all it was.
That's true. Now, here's what it says in Genesis. It says that when God breathed, that spirit, he breathed into Adam's nostrils the breath of life, he became a living soul. All right? God did not give Adam his soul. God gave him life, spirit of life. But the presence of the spirit of life into the body of the man, a soul came into being. That's what made man in the image of God, body, soul, and spirit. Okay, so this is where you have a lot of people today who believe that a baby aborted is killing, but they don't believe it's murder. They don't believe it's a baby, a viable human being, until it takes its first breath outside the mother's womb. How many's ever heard that before? All right, a lot of people believe that. And they believe that based on Adam and God breathing into his nostrils. The problem with that is in the book of, Jeremiah, when in his mother's womb, you know, God said, I've called you and separated you as a prophet to the nations in your mother's womb. I knew thee before you had a body outside. I knew thee in your lowest parts, in your most elemental parts of your being, in your mother's womb. He had identity. John the Baptist jumped inside his mother's womb when Elizabeth heard about Mary being pregnant. You know, so there's a gray area there. I believe killing babies inside their mother's womb is murder. I believe it's a little human being. But now that's a human being that came into being through the natural process of God, you know, the way he made the order of man and a woman, the way he made it to be. I believe that. But when we get into this business of designer babies and then artificial wombs, never been in a human being, never had a contact with a human being, that gets off into a gray area there. I can't tell you this morning with an honest heart that I know exactly what's going on here. I don't know what we got. And I don't know how your feeling is on that. Maybe God will give you some light on it. But as far as I stand right now with it, I don't know what's going on. I don't know what it is. And tell me this, what would a chimera be? What would you have if you had a mixture of a human being and an animal? Now what do you got? Yes, sir.
Well, if we think about it, life definitely begins at conception because the Holy Ghost gave seed to Mary.
Now, yes, he did.
Was Jesus alive before or after he was born? It would be through the Holy Ghost and seed.
Well, sure. Well, yes, he's alive.
So that's where it begins. And so our bodies are just vehicles for our souls.
Well, I agree with that.
So then what they got to do is take the soul away and just leave the vehicle.
Well, here's the thing, see. Here's the point that you're getting into that I didn't get into much. And that is, all right, you've got this designer baby in this artificial womb, all right? And then it's born. Whatever they call birth to be, it's born. What spirit entered that child? What spirit? What spirit? Well, that's very true. I mean, that's a good observation, brother. That's a good observation. They would come along and say, well, this is not a human being born like human beings. This is just some kind of a body part machine we raised here, and we can take it because there's no ethical issue involved because it's not a human being. And that's...
Spirits need a vehicle, because that's why when Jesus cast out the spirits...
They don't like to be bodiless.
It doesn't matter the vehicle. They just hate it.
They did. Yes.
And
like a brontosaurus, you look at that and you say, God said that was good. But then you look at a Transaurus rex, and you have to ask the question, is that good? Was all flesh corrupted, including the dinosaurs?
I see your point now. You're saying that when they were originally created, he didn't originally create a Tyrannosaurus rex. He created a Brontosaurus, which through some kind of a mutation or whatever became a Tyrannosaurus rex. Okay, yeah, I understand. Okay, yes?
The devil made a man.
Pardon?
The devil made a man, but he didn't put life in him. So are we seeing Satan at work tonight? I think we are.
Yeah, are you talking about the Antichrist when he's raised from the dead? Revelation 13?
God made the cells.
Pardon?
The cells were created by God. The building blocks of life were created by God. But it's man and Satan that corrupt.
Yes. All right, well, yes, sir.
It seems like that's the whole point. So that Satan is behind the whole thing, so that he can make a vehicle that there's no need for temptation or sin. They can traffic in and out of existence.
Absolutely. That's the progression of it. That's the next step. I didn't get into that today. I didn't get into the satanic element involved in it. We were looking at the scientific nuts and bolts of a possibility of this. But when you bring that element in, Satan and how he can use something like that, that's a whole new ball game. And that's for another study. Anyway, show up next week and we'll get back into that and cover some of it. Yes, sir. Yes, sir, brother. Yes, sir. Your brother-in-law's daughter's having emergency brain surgery right now. So let's pray for her. Amen. Well, Brother Valance, yes, ma'am. Okay, it's out of rhythm, running away. Okay. Remember Pam, she's got atrial fib. I know exactly what she's going through. So pray for her. All right.
Our dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for keeping us aware of what's going on in the world, Lord, and preparing our hearts for the deception and the deceit that's coming, that's already here. Lord, I pray that you'll keep our eyes open, Lord, and keep our hearts steady and stern towards the Word of God, Lord, not to be wavering, stammering in what we believe. Lord, we pray for this girl named Holly. Lord, we pray that you'll be with the surgeons as they operate on her brain, Lord. Pray that, Lord, that you'll give her speedy recovery, Lord, and help her to grow up healthy. Lord, I pray, most of all, Lord, that she grows up as a child of the King. Lord, I pray for him too. I pray that she'll be with her. I pray that she'll be with the family. Lord, I pray that you'll strengthen her. Lord, get the physicians and the doctors' wisdom and treatment. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you'll just, Lord, help us make sure our hearts are right. Lord, we know that any day that you can return, Lord,